Listen, scripture says this. It says to put away all filthiness, all of the mess, and all of the rampant wickedness, which means the constant growing wickedness that comes about. He says, put it away. So scripture says, and receive this with meekness. Receive with meekness the implanted word. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the word of the Lord to you. Receive the good news tonight. It's the good news that only God can implant in our heart. And it will save your soul. It's a messy situation. That's what sin is. That's my message to you in these next couple of minutes before we pray. It's a messy situation, sin. But God knows how to clean it up. He did that 2,000 years ago through his son, Jesus Christ. And he's the only way to clean up the mess. He's the only truth to be able to clean up the mess. He's the only answer to being a new person and being able to clean up the mess that you and I made. It's a messy situation. There's another story in scripture in 2 Kings chapter 5. It's in the Old Testament part of scripture. And it's about a guy named Naaman. And he was a chieftain in his community. He was a military guy. He was successful. He was brave. He was close with the king. The king of Syria trusted him. He was known to be a man that was given favor. He had a lot of things going for him, but he had leprosy. He had all this power. He had status. He knew how to talk a good game, but he had a condition that was killing him. And his leprosy represents the condition of our soul when we haven't received Jesus Christ. That's what leprosy represents. But he was a leper. He was surrounded by his men, surrounded by leadership, holding down a great position in life, but he was dying in the inside. And he comes to this place in life where no matter what he did, nothing would change the fact that there was a condition that he still needed to deal with. His wife had a slave from Israel, a little girl. And the little girl walks up to Naaman's wife and says, I know somebody who knows somebody who can handle that leprosy. It's a pretty amazing moment when you think about it. Here she is, a slave, but she has enough trust and faith in Jesus Christ and the God that she knew about to tell her slave owners, if you really want change, if you really want a miracle, I know somebody who knows somebody that can handle that. And so, after a little conversation, quick conversation with Naaman and his wife, he tells his king, look, this little slave girl that my wife has told me about this prophet that is able to change my life and get rid of this leprosy. And so the king says, all right, cool. Well, then we'll write to the king of Israel. We'll send a nice little letter, a letter of negotiation, a proposal. We'll send this letter to him discussing the particulars about your need for healing. So they send the letter. And the letter comes to the other king, and this king gets all worked up about this letter. He reads the letter. He reads this letter from his enemies, and he says, what in the world? Do they think I'm God? Do they really think I can give life and take life? They want to fight. Is that what they want? They want to fight with me. That's how the king responded. What in the world's going on? He was pretty worked up about it. Totally worked up about this letter. He was angry. Because here's the deal, right? You can't make any proposals with God in order for your life to be changed. You just have to receive this free gift of salvation. You and I can't negotiate with God. We can't write a letter to God saying, look, this is how it's going to work and this is how it's going to be. Naaman had this idea that his salvation and his healing could happen on his own terms. That ain't going to happen, brothers and sisters. Now, the prophet Elisha heard about the king getting all worked up about this letter that came from Naaman saying, I want to get healed. And the prophet Elisha said, whoa, 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 king, before you get all worked up and start a whole big fight and the armies go heading out and we just get into this one big mess, just tell Naaman to come see me. Let him come. And even in that moment, it's a demonstration of God's mercy to heal anyone, to save all of those that have a sin condition. And so Naaman receives this report from Elisha that the invitation has come and I'm going to be healed and I'm going to be changed. And so Naaman does this. He rallies all the troops, everybody, soldiers, his leadership. Matter of fact, he goes into his bank and gets a couple of gold coins, millions of dollars worth of gold. And he goes and gets about 10 new outfits because he feels like what he needs for his life is based upon what he can bring to God. So he goes and gets the finest clothes, millions of dollars. And oh, by the way, maybe I'll look better to God if he sees me as a leader with all of my men. Now you got to picture this moment with Naaman. He shows up to Elisha's door with all of his leaders, his army, chariots all lined up. They got gold rims on the wheels, not the 22-inch, the 52-inch. They shining top to bottom. He's wearing his best clothes, even though everything inside is rotting away. He shows up to Elisha's house. He's got his wardrobe team holding all the clothes. He feels like he is a stylist in some way. I don't know why he'd bring all these clothes. But maybe he feels like salvation is won over depending upon how you look. Money, maybe money will buy me this healing. So he shows up at the door. He's wearing his best suit. Everyone's around. Everyone's standing in attention. Everyone in the right place. I'm going to be made whole. I am going to be a new man. He knocks on the door. And Elisha doesn't come to the door. You could read this, 2 Kings chapter 5. Instead, Elisha sends a little girl, a little servant. And the servant opens up the door with a message from Elisha. And so he's standing there and a servant is at the door. Where's Elisha? Where is he? And I can imagine the little servant. Elisha ain't coming to the door. But I got a message for you. He said for you to go over to that nasty Jordan River and you're supposed to dip yourself 7 times. Ooh, that's nasty. 7 times in that Jordan River. And then you'll be okay. Door slam. Whoosh. Could you imagine that? And the door gets slammed right in his face and Scripture tells us that Naaman stormed off angry, just upset. Upset that Elisha didn't come to the door, upset that his salvation didn't come the way he wanted it to come. Upset that the way he thought that everything was supposed to work out for him to be a better person didn't work out. Upset that suddenly he's embarrassed because he's always worried about the approval and the affirmation that comes from man rather than humbling yourself. Many of us are distracted because we want to make sure that we look good amongst people. And my salvation has to work in accordance with my status amongst others. So he goes storming off mad and angry. And an example of this moment in his anger represents the pride of man that gets in the way of you and I being completely healed and set free. Pride. It is a great hindrance to you and I being free in the power of Jesus Christ. Pride. And pride is ugly because it causes you and I to act out in a foolish way. Pride. It's when it doesn't go the way we want it to go. Pride. It causes bitterness in our heart towards God. Because God, I expected it now. I expected it this way. I expected you to do this. Pride, it gets in the way. Now, thank God for a couple of honest, real brothers that were getting tired of the way that Naaman was acting. Because the story goes on like this. He goes storming off talking about, I expected him. I expected him to come to the door. I expected him to wave his hand over my head. I expected him to call out to God in a particular way. I expected to be cured right there at the door on my timetable, and it didn't happen. And a couple of his servants said, excuse me, Naaman. Excuse me. Is it really that bad? Is it that much of a big deal that all you got to do is just be washed and be made clean? I mean, I can imagine him a little hesitant, a little nervous. He's got a bad attitude right now. But his true character was on display. And they didn't want to live with that no more. It's amazing how people that don't even know this one true God will call you out on your messy situation and be like, you need some change. You need some change. I don't know about you, but we've all had those moments. There was a time in my life where I was in and out of the clubs, partying. It's my freshman year of college. I wasn't going to class. I was just getting ready for the next party. I used to really be into parties, clubbing and hanging out. And I remember coming in and out of these parties, and I was just so uncomfortable with the mess that I was making in my life. And I had a couple of homeboys, two of them in particular. And from time to time, they would question me and be like, yo, Dave, is this really you? Because I just really don't see it on you, really. You don't roll the way we roll. You just look uncomfortable, the whole thing. And I'll never forget their honesty, because that put me in check each and every time that they questioned whether this was really me. And in this moment, there was a checkpoint right here with Naaman and the people around him saying, oh, you can't go on like this. You need a change really bad. You need to go ahead and do this. See, Naaman didn't want to go in the Jordan. Matter of fact, he called out two different other rivers that he wished he could have gone to, because they were these clean streams, these beautiful bodies of water that he really wanted to dip in. He just thought that would be so much better. Like, my mess deserves special attention, okay? No. Your situation's just plain old messy. Sin is messy. It doesn't deserve any special treatment. You and I don't deserve any special treatment from God. We've just made a mess of things because of our sin. And the Jordan, it represents messiness. The Jordan was nasty, muddy, dark, nothing clear about it. But the Jordan River represents Calvary. It represents the mess that Jesus took upon himself so that you and I would be made clean. There was nothing pretty about the cross. It was messy. Jesus went to that cross and he was beaten. He was bruised. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They drove nails through his hands and feet. It was a messy situation for you and I. He bled out. It was a messy situation for you and I. That's what the Jordan represents. Naaman finally humbled himself and he went to that Jordan. And he dipped himself down once, twice, three times, four times. I could imagine him coming up the fourth time like, do I look different? I can imagine all the guys standing around like, Seven, boss. You got three more times to go down. Five. Six. One more time, boss. One more time. If you're walking in humility and you're obedient to this word, this good news, you're going to do exactly what God wants you to do tonight. One more time. And he goes down one more time. And scripture says that when he came up the seventh time, his skin was like a baby. A new person, completely whole. No longer would he have to dress himself in all them fancy clothes to cover up his sin condition. A new person, a man who finally humbled himself and recognized his messy situation, and all he could do was be dependent on the word. This is our good news tonight. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up because we're going to pray. We're going to go before God. And I want to pray with some people tonight that are in a messy situation. And it's time to be washed and made clean. We don't got to go to the Jordan. Not tonight. I know none of y'all in here want to go to no Hudson River and dip down in that seven times. I remember when I first came to New York City, I was dating my wife at the time, and I was just so blown away by New York City and everything. And I remember driving down the West Side Highway, and I was with my wife, girlfriend at the time, and I was like, ooh, look at the river. And she was like, ain't nothing to look at. I was like, why? She says, it's nasty. Imagine if that was a part of the process of you and I being whole and made a new person. If we all had to like march down to the West Side Highway and dip ourselves into the Hudson seven times. I don't think none of you would go with me. Praise God, we don't have to. The cleanup process happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus went to the cross. Do you know Jesus has already handled every messy situation that you could possibly come up with? It's done. This is why he was able at that last moment in his last breath to just cry out, "It is finished." Because what he was talking about was the messy situation of sin and death was completely wiped out for you and I. But now we have to do a few things. We have to bow our heads. We have to ask Jesus for forgiveness tonight. We have to humble ourselves. We have to come face to face with our messy situation. Don't ignore it anymore tonight. Tonight you are not to ignore the mess that you and I have made. Because the important part of recognizing your mess is recognizing that it's been cleaned up through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, I can see my mess, but I can also see it as something that God has already handled. It's done. And God's just waiting. He's just waiting for you to recognize that there is freedom and there is a washing and cleansing for every person that has chosen tonight to believe in faith that Jesus is the Savior. Would you stand up with me? I want to pray with you. Be honest with me. By a show of hands, real quick. If you're dealing with a messy situation, just throw your hand up real quick. Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's time for that thing to be cleaned up right now in the name of Jesus. So every person that threw your hand up, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. We've all come before the Lord and said, I got a messy situation and I need to lay it down at the feet of Jesus Christ and I need him to wash me and cleanse me. That's the power of the cross. It washes and cleanses. Now, every hand that went up, I want you to come forward right now. I want to pray with you quickly. Don't worry about anybody. Just make your way out. Let's clean up the mess. Balcony two, come on down. Let's clean up the mess. Jesus is going to do it. Because you and I, we've tried too hard to clean up the mess. And it seems like it just spreads. That's what happens. You ever like spill like spaghetti sauce on a white t-shirt? And you panic real quick, right? So you go grab a tissue or a cloth or something. And you go to wipe it out. And that thing does what? Spreads. I've done that countless times. And my wife will say, stop, right there, stop. My wife is really good at getting out stains. And she'll just give it to me. And then she'll like throw like some baby powder on it real quick, like that. And she'll just give it to me. And she's like, David, putting this shirt in the wash right away is going to do a whole lot more than you trying to rub out that stain. You're sitting here trying to rub out the stain yourself. And all you got to do is just run it through the wash. Well, the wash is the cross. The washing process is Jesus, who took our place because of the messy situation we made. And when we come before the Lord tonight and receive him and lay down every messy situation we've made, when Jesus takes over, there's no more stain. Woo! It's like you and I have dipped in the Jordan 7 times, a number that represents completion. It is finished. And every stain, every scar is taken care of because of the power of Jesus Christ. The power, the victory won on the cross. Every stain gone, every messy situation. Release your hand from it and let God step in. And do the cleanup now. Lord, we come before you right now with an open heart. Jesus, I ask that you would step in now with your mighty hands of mercy and love. And I ask you right now, Jesus, that you would move in, invade every soul. Clean house now, Jesus. Every person that's come forward with a messy situation, be the savior of their soul right now in the name of Jesus. There's no mess too big for you to clean up, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for drawing your people to receive you. Lord Jesus, I know that there are a lot of people that might be here and they feel embarrassed by their situation, struggling with the guilt of making a mess out of things. But I pray that every heart would truly be surrendered tonight to receive the freedom that you offer us through your death and resurrection. I pray that faith would rise up in every heart to believe that they have a Savior, a deliverer. You are the one who delivers us and sets us free from addiction. Set your people free now in the name of Jesus. Clean up the mess of alcohol right now in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I pray to you. Clean up the mess of pornography right now in the name of Jesus. Set your people free in the name of Jesus, I pray, oh God. God, every marriage that's a mess right now, I ask you, Lord God, bring restoration into that marriage. May husbands and wives cry out to you. May they surrender to you. Oh God, tear down the walls of pride and anger. Stand in the way of wickedness and filthiness and sin. And we say yes to you tonight, oh God. We receive you as Savior. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I receive you. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died for me, Jesus. You took my place. I choose now to turn away from sin. Make me a new person. Clean up my life. Clean up my mind. Clean up my heart. Renew my soul. Jesus, you are my Savior. You are my healer. You are my deliverer. I surrender my life. Thank you, Jesus, for making me a new person. This day going forward, I choose to live my life the way you want me to live my life. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray, amen. God, I just ask that you would heal every heart right now in the name of Jesus. Bring healing right now to your people, oh God. I thank you, Savior. I thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for stepping in and making our path straight. Thank you, Jesus, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. And it's because of you that we're able to come to the Father. It's because of you that our relationship with the Father is forever restored, and we're going to be forever in eternity with our God, our Savior, our King. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you for showing us your grace, your mercy. Thank you for stepping in when we don't even deserve it, but you stepped in anyway. Hallelujah. So now I pray, oh God, that you would bottle up every tear and that every heart would know tonight that they belong to you, Jesus Christ. And they would know that there is no mess. There is no mess that is too big for you. Your love is greater. Your promise is greater to never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you, Jesus. We give you all the glory and the honor. In your name we pray tonight. Amen and amen.